this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nate Friedel, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye. Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Fred on the Chicago Bullseye.
I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you listen to Freddie.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of Chicago Bullseye. We have a special, special episode today with Wise and Marcus Couch. Great to talk to you guys. Thanks for jumping on the Chicago Bullseye.
Anytime.
Why don't we start out with where people can find you? Because I've listened, actually on YouTube, I've watched your, or listened to your podcast on YouTube. Why don't we start out where people can find you, and we'll remind everyone at the end also.
We are just the obvious as far as a title of a show. We are just the Bulls Podcast. The domain is bullspodcast.com, and you can just find us anywhere on social at Bulls Podcast.
Awesome, guys.
Yeah, man. And same with me. I have my own individual YouTube channel. You can just find me at Wise Black, Wise spelled W-Y-S-E, Black, the regular spelling. And, you know, on Instagram and Twitter and all that, you know.
Yeah, Wise, I've wanted to mention, too, I checked out some of your videos on that channel. I can't recommend enough for people to check it out. Always really good stuff on there. Really interesting topics that everyone who listens to this show should absolutely go to YouTube and check those out. So let's start with you, Wise, on this one. I posted a poll today on Twitter, and I was kind of mortified with the results, to be honest. And basically was, will the Bulls make the playoffs next year? With or without one of the following three picks, you know, Ja Morant, RJ, well, without, in other words, RJ or Zion. Let's assume they don't get one of those three. And therefore, probably we're not going to have a really huge contributor in year one from a rookie. Do you believe the team can make the playoffs next year?
If we don't have a contributing rookie coming in next season?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we would basically have to look at our main characters in Lloyd Marketing, Otto, Zach LaVine, and Wendell Carter Jr. It really depends. I think it really depends on the development of the team chemistry overall. You know, I really need to see some development from Wendell Carter Jr. And on top of that, I want to see more of this Otto Porter Jr. that we're getting currently, because I don't necessarily know if Zach LaVine, you know, with his resurgence right now, he definitely looks like a great player right now, you know, even an all-around player. And even our, you know, budding star, young star in Lloyd Marketing, I don't necessarily know if just those two would be enough to get us into the postseason. But I think if we could really develop as a team with all of our core pieces, I could actually see us squeak in there. I don't want to hop out of the window like most of us did, you know, from this season and just say that we'd automatically be in there, because a lot of us are hyped about the potential of a lot of our young players. But I think it's really based on the development of a lot of these young guys that we have and them really believing in the coaching philosophy of Jim Boylan.
Marcus, what say you?
Yeah, I think along the same lines, realistically, I think we can make the playoffs as long as we get a couple of other pieces. I don't think that we have the tools right now to be making the playoffs, obviously, since we just got eliminated from them. But as I always say, we're a point guard away, right? Mm-hmm. We're one good point guard away. Chris Dunn is obviously not cutting it up. And even on our show today, we talked about three different trade scenarios in which we could kind of make a favorable trade and get rid of not only Dunn for some equal talent, but also find a way to shovel Felicio off to somebody else. So those are interesting topics nonetheless.
Isn't it possible that this season, I think, you know, everybody's been so frustrated and it's been such a disaster overall in retrospect in regards to the record. I mean, don't let me forget, and no one should forget how nice some of the moments were in February after the trade for Otto Porter Jr. But I think what's obscured the big picture is how many injuries we've had. It's like, I think people forget that. How many times this year, who's our best defensive player, would you guys say?
Did you say defense?
Yeah, our best defensive player.
I think
Wendell Carter Jr., that's who I would say.
I would say Wendell Carter, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have to say Wendell Carter Jr.
He's our best defensive player. Our best offensive player is probably Zach LaVine right now.
Zach LaVine, without a doubt.
And our best overall player is Lauri Markkanen. How many games have those guys played together? Like 10? 5?
If that.
I'll go back and look. Our three best players, the three core pieces for this team moving forward, have hardly played together. And people are just like randomly talking how disappointing the season's been. To me, that's what's been disappointing. We haven't been healthy. We're still missing four rotation players. What team in basketball is going to win consistently without four rotation players? LaVine, regardless, people love making jokes about Valentine. He was one of our best three-point shooters, and he was a contributing player. Hutch was really starting to progress, I thought. He's out. And Wendell Carter Jr.'s out for the whole year. It's insane. It doesn't that kind of skew this season in a negative way? I don't think there's any doubt if we have help next year. I don't even care if we don't add anyone. We make the playoffs. What say you?
See, I don't know. I think you kind of got to pump your brakes on it, man, just because, like, yeah, I think a lot of those guys that you just mentioned – being out this year definitely hindered us from, you know, having more wins than we do right now. But at the same time, I still think you have to take in the factor of player chemistry and player development all as one. You know what I'm saying? And, yeah, even with those guys coming in next season, as you just mentioned, they only play, maybe 10 games together. So they haven't necessarily been able to gel on the floor
exactly
as much yet, you know. And you look at how they were playing early in the season when Wendell Carter Jr. was actually out there. Chandler Hutchinson was on the floor with them as well. They weren't winning games still. Now, don't get me wrong, we have some new faces on this team, so maybe that'll change. I hope that will change. But I don't know. I just want to wait and see how this team looks overall, you know, when everyone is fully healthy and how Jim Boylan galvanizes these guys. I really want to see if he can, you know, pass this test to really get all of these young guys on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Marcus, what say you?
I don't think that we could make the playoffs if we did not get any help. I mean, our bench is atrocious right now. You know, it's... Come on, we got Felicio as our backup center right now. That's terrible.
Let's say that next year we bring back the same team, but it's healthy. So you have Wendell Carter Jr. starting, and on your bench is going to be Valentine, Robin Lopez,
Archie.
Well, that's if Robin stays, if we can afford him.
Yeah, I'm hoping he stays. I think he's proved to be a valuable player for us, and I think he'd be a perfect backup five, you know, for us. But that's a good question.
I mean, we need to make we need at least two guys to get us over that goal line in terms of the playoffs. I mean, Otto Porter Jr. is great. He's been a great addition. He's really helped to gel the chemistry. He's been kind of the jelly to mix with the crunchy peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And I just think that we got to get a good point guard and a good backup point guard. You know, if we could draft somebody like Ja Morant and bring Derrick Rose back here, like Adidas is pushing him to come back to Chicago next year, that would be something.
That would be a story.
That's probably your playoff team. But again, we may be over speculating, and obviously draft day changes everything in terms of the direction of a team. But I don't know. I don't think yet. I don't think with this existing group of guys that we can put it over there. That's just, I don't think it could happen.
Speaking of the draft, let's go with that for a second, because I've watched quite a bit of Ja Morant lately. Been very impressed. I mean, you would have to be a moron not to be impressed with what this guy does athletically, vision wise. He's really good. Let's assume we get number two overall. What do you guys go? Is it RJ or is it Ja? Or is it someone else I haven't mentioned? Let's start out with you, Wise.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go with Ja. Like, I definitely think I have to go with Ja, you know, over R.J. Barrett. I just think that Morant might turn out to be the better NBA player just because he has that it factor a bit more than Barrett in terms of understanding the game and star potential, if you ask me. While I think Barrett may have more tools because of his size and potential to be a Swiss Army knife type player, playing multiple positions and all that, I see more of a leader and game changer in Ja Morant, especially for this Bulls team. Ja's averaging, what, 24, 10, and 5 or something like that, while shooting 50% from the field and like 80% from the free throw line. You know, I think his three-point shooting definitely needs work, but that's not a big enough deterrent for me. And, I mean, when I watch him on the court, he basically resembles like a De'Aaron Fox, you know, just with probably better leaping ability. You know, yeah. His passing skills are on point, as you mentioned, outside of when he probably tries to be a little too flashy. But, you know, he's an offensive threat with his ability to score at the rim and make nice adjustment shots, which means he also attracts a lot of help defense for easy kickout passes, you know, for open threes or even dump offs to bigs. You know, I really think that Ja could be. I even read that Ja could be like the first point guard in NCAA history to average 20 and 10 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so this kid, man, he has it, and we can only hope that the Bulls get lucky enough to get him.
I really do agree, and Wise and I are much in the same vein as far as what our needs are as a team. And as I mentioned before, Ja Morant is the guy. I wouldn't go with Reddish. I don't think that fits an immediate need for us. Right now we're deprived in a point guard, and you know, we need somebody that's got that kind of flash and that can make their own shot, and Morant's that guy. And I just don't think the other two are immediate needs for us. We've got log jams right now going on in the forward spot, and the only way I'd bring on any kind of forward right now would be if it's Zion, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah. Other than that, I mean, our biggest hole right now is we need a good quality point guard. And as much as, you know, you and I and Wise love Ryan Arcidiacono, Fred, you know, he's not going to be our starter next year.
No.
No, please no. Please. He's a nice kid, and he's definitely playing better lately. I'd be fine. I think it'd be ideal if he's our third string point guard. Going in next year. That's a nice role for him. Man, that's a tough one, though, guys. I mean, R.J. Barrett is a very, very talented player. And I think he's an excellent player. And that is going to be a tough call. You know, no doubt point guard is more of a position of need. Let's just assume, though, for a second, R.J. Barrett goes off in the NCAA tournament, leads, actually, you know, maybe even outperforms Zion, leads Duke to a national championship. That's going to be a really tough decision. You know, he's such a young player, and he's so talented. It'll be a good one, right? Because we'll get somebody who's good. I think both those players are going to be good players. But, oh, man, is that
I mean, you better pray they don't play North Carolina in that college bracket, because
I mean,
NC's got their number right now.
I know. So true.
Yo, listen, like, say if we were to get, like, the third pick or something like that, and Ja Morant is already off the board.
Yeah.
You know, like, I definitely would go with the R.J. Barrett. You know, I definitely would go with the R.J. Barrett. And I think I mentioned this on the show earlier that Marcus and I did, but I'd actually like to see the Bulls play with the roster a little bit and probably try to, you know, try the project with Zach LaVine at the one. You know, and that would obviously put R.J. Barrett at the two, Otto, and so on. But I would actually like to see how that tandem would work out with Zach and R.J. Barrett in the backcourt. You know, I think it could probably be a little scary.
Wise, I agree 100%. And I had suggested that on Twitter. I had a vision about a lineup. Now let me throw this out. Let's just assume we get Zion for the heck of it. You could go with a lineup of Wendell Carter Jr. at the 5. Laurie at the 4, Zion at the 3, Otto Porter Jr. at the 2, and Zach LaVine at the 1. That would kind of be a quote-unquote small lineup with all guys that are very athletic for their position but incredibly tall. It'd be a tall, quote-unquote, small lineup. Can you imagine how effective that team would be? And I think it would be very good defensively. And you'd have just, oh, my God, it would just – I think it would be like set basketball, you know, ahead. It'd be the future of basketball. They can get Zion. I mean, but, you know, there's an 86% chance we won't get him, even if we have the worst record. So that's the way I'm kind of taking it. I do, guys, want to ask you this one. Let's throw this out there. Let's say we end up at 4. Would you be willing to trade next year's number 1 to move up to 2? Wise.
Oh.
So our 4 pick and next year's number 1 to move up 2 spot.
Oh, that's pretty tough. Yeah, that's a pickle, man. You know what? For Ja Morant, I think I would do it just because that would pretty much complete us. Like that would give us a complete starting five, and
yeah.
I think you probably have to roll the dice on that, man. Now, obviously, we could, you know, we probably would be a little, you know, ticked off if that later pick turned out to be like some crazy super good player or something like that. But with Ja Morant, you know, staring us in the face at the number 2, if they could get that, I'd say pull the trigger.
Yeah, I think I would do it in a heartbeat. After all, we did trade 2 number 1, you know, first round draft picks to get Doug McDermott. So why would we not roll the dice and get a guy that we know can play? And I would do that for Ja Morant easily.
Well, the difference is, Marcus, we knew where those 2 number ones that we were trading were. I mean, they were, you know, 19, or I can't recall off the top of my head, but they were late teens. What we're trading in a next year.
Well, it's just advancing the tank, is it not? I mean, you're saving yourself one more season of tanking to make sure that you can get that top 2 pick.
I think it's a tough call, though, because in every draft, there's always a guy. Like, there's a guy I love, DeAndre Hunter.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, exactly. Donovan Mitchell, Larry Markkanen at 7. Nobody was talking about those guys. Nobody was talking about them in the draft. And if you're at 4, just and you trade a number 1 pick just to move up 2 spots, and there's a guy at 4 who gets picked, like the guy I love is from Virginia, DeAndre Hunter, I think is going to be a fantastic player. Right now, in almost every mock I've seen, he's going to go at 8. I know the chosen one, Ricky O'Donnell, thinks he's good at everything, but not great at anything, which is, you know, that's probably damning with faint praise. But I love the guy, and I would be fine if we ended up with DeAndre Hunter. And I know everyone else would be upset, but, you know, we'll see. But I think that's a real huge risk. I mean, what happens if we have another injury thing and it ends up being another lottery pick, right, guys? And next year we traded it just to move up 2 slots?
Exactly. I mean, and that's why I said it's such a tough, you know, it's such a tough deal for me. Just because you do have that risk factor there of a guy potentially getting injured and us being right back in that situation. Like, you look at Dallas right now, how they traded away their picks. And don't get me wrong, I really love Luka Doncic, but they really don't have anything to look for come next year. Well, as a matter of fact, let me stop, because they did just get Porzingis or whatnot. But in terms of them trading away their pick or whatnot, you know, you never know what it could turn out to be next season. Because what if Porzingis doesn't come back 100% next season? You know what I mean? And then they just gave away their picks to the Atlanta Hawks. And say if the Atlanta Hawks turn around and get some really nice guy, pick up some really nice player with that pick that they gave up for him. So I don't know. Like, you definitely just got to weigh your options and think really carefully when you're doing deals like that.
And I will say, if the Bulls end up at 3, let's say that happens, everything is dependent upon who's at 1 and 2. If the Suns are at 2, they're going to take Ja Morant. They've been looking for a point guard forever, you know, since Nash left. But if it's the Knicks have a legit shot at getting Kyrie Irving. There's no way with Dennis Smith Jr. on the roster that they're going to draft Ja Morant. They're going to take R.J. Barrett.
No.
So it's really dependent on who's in that 2 spot, and the Bulls could end up at the 3rd spot and get Morant. And I think we would all be happy with that. What say you, Marcus?
I think if Phoenix is not in that top 4, I think we got a shot at getting Ja Morant even at 4. I mean, if, say, Phoenix is at 5, I think they'll – because Cleveland does not need a point guard, right? They don't – they're not in dire need of it. The Knicks, obviously, one, right? They'll take anybody at this point.
Yeah, but the Knicks, the Knicks have Dennis Smith Jr., and they're probably going to get signed. I think they're going to get Irving. I really do. You know, and if that happens, or the draft will take place before free agency, they'll probably have an idea that they're going to be able to get him. So I would be shocked if they pass on Barrett and take Morant ahead of Barrett. You know, it depends on who falls in those spots. That's a good point, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, either your point guards in this one are going to be Morant and Garland. Those are the 1-2 in terms of point guards. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Garland is a top four pick. I really don't. So I think it's going to be Duke is going to be 3 out of the top 4, and Ja Morant being that other one. I just think that's the way it's going to roll.
Awesome. We're running out of time here, guys, but the last couple of questions before we and I can't thank you enough for jumping on the Bullseye. I want to talk about the East right now, the top 4 teams. You got the Bucks, Toronto, the Celtics. You know, I'll throw the Celtics in there because I think they're better than Indiana. I think Indiana is eventually going to fall. And the Philly. Mm-hmm. Out of those 4 teams, which one of those 4 do you feel is going to get out of the East and represent the Eastern Conference in the finals? Start out with you for this one, Marcus, and we'll go to Wise.
I think it's going to be Milwaukee. In fact, I think Giannis will probably get MVP this year.
Wow.
And, you know, they just threw Nico on the team, and now they got Pau Gasol that they picked up. That's going to be a really hard team to beat. And as we know, Philly is not bulletproof. We've kicked their butts every time we played them this year at the UC. So I just don't think that Philly's got it. Boston is kind of a train wreck. You know, mm-hmm. they killed the Bulls one game. We got them back the next game for the rubber band game. I don't think they have a shot in it. And I really don't see anybody else in the East that's going to do it. It just doesn't seem feasible. So I think Milwaukee right now with, you know, one of the best core groups in the entire league, I think this is their year.
For me, with Milwaukee, I don't think that they're playoff tested enough. So I'm not too sure about Milwaukee. And a lot of times when teams are, you know, the number one seed in their conference and, you know, for most of the year and everything like that, sometimes they tend to fall off once the playoffs hit, especially a team like the Milwaukee Bucks who lacks that playoff experience. So I'm not too sure about them. I know that they look great right now and they have the, you know, the consensus MVP and Giannis right now, but I'm not too sure about them. But my dark horse in the East has to be Toronto. I mean, I look at them having all of those pieces over there in Pascal Siakam, but obviously the acquisition of Mark Gasol, you have obviously their
Serge
star
Ibaka.
And Kawhi Leonard, huh?
Serge Ibaka. I mean, they got
Serge Ibaka as well. I mean, so they have a nice, I feel like they have maybe the best team to really get out of the East, if you ask me. I just think that a lot of their guys are battle tested, or at least their main pieces, and Kyle Lowry, Kawhi Leonard, and even Mark Gasol. I think that they have enough on their team to really get themselves over the hump. They look like just a really a playoff built team to me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I could really see them pulling it out in the East.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I'm going to go with Philly. I think when Embiid comes back, assuming he comes back, I think they got, you know, 4 legit, really good players. And I think that, you know, when you get to the playoffs, for the most part, the bench isn't as important. That's why I think Milwaukee is going to struggle. I think Milwaukee is a new version of Atlanta. You know, Atlanta in the mid-2014-15 with Horford's Atlanta Hawks. Very good during the regular season. They always lost in the second round. And I expect more of the same this year. But I agree with you. It's either Toronto or Milwaukee. Yeah, excuse me, Toronto or Philly, and I think it's going to be Philly. So we'll see, man. We'll see. But regardless.
The guy that I was talking about, too, was OG Anunoby.
Oh, I just fantastic. Remembered him, so. Right, fantastic.
I just love their depth. But yeah. But go
from
ahead.
Indiana.
I cut you off.
Indiana's finest. Yeah, so I think, you know, and if they don't come out, you know, Butler's going to leave. He's probably going to leave anyhow, regardless of what happens for L.A., either for the Lakers or Clippers.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I think that's what part of the reason I'm so bullish, quote-unquote bullish on next year, is I think Kawhi's leaving. He's going to go to L.A., one of the two teams. I think Butler's leaving. He's either going to be in New York or L.A. If he goes to New York, he's going to join Kawhi Leonard, and they're going to be improved, but they're never going to be good enough to win 52 games. You know, I think they'll win probably about 45, but I don't think they're ever going to be a legit threat, and they'll just complain about the young guys around them and the lack of talent around them. And then when Kyrie leaves Boston, they're obviously going to be a little bit worse or significantly worse. Philly's going to lose Butler. I think every team ahead of the Bulls in the top four, and Milwaukee, if you look at their roster, they have a ton of guys that are going to be leaving due to free agent. Almost every guy in the roster is a free agent. They can't keep them all. There's no way. So they're going to lose somebody. Bulls are really coming around at the right time to skyrocket up this Eastern Conference, and I'm really excited about next year. So last question before we wrap this up, I'm going to throw this out. We draft Ja Morant. We sign – I'm going to throw a scenario out to you. We draft Ja. We sign Patrick Beverley, who's my favorite to start next year. Brings a lot of great things. We sign Taj Gibson as a backup 4 or 5. Those three moves. How many wins does this Chicago Bulls team have next season with that roster?
We pick up Taj Gibson, Beverley,
and
draft Ja.
So let's look at the lineup really quick. At 5 starting, you obviously got Wendell Carter Jr., Laurie at the 4. Mm-hmm. We got Otto Porter Jr. at the 3. We have LaVine at the 2 and Patrick Beverley starting. The second unit would then would be comprised of Dunn at the 1, Valentine at the 2, Hutch at the 3, Taj at the 4, assuming we sign Lopez too, Lopez at the 5. And then our draft pick, Ja Morant, Arch, whoever else you want, Seldon, make up, 10 through 15. I think that is a 55-win team. Am I nuts?
Yeah. 55.
Thanks, Marcus. Thanks a lot, brother.
That's going to be 40 to 42-win season with those guys.
42? Oh, man. Come on. What say you, Wise? Come on. Let's bring this up here. Come on. 40, better than 42. Greater, lower, or more?
I'm going to say probably 3 more wins than Marcus gives them. Probably
45.
Around,
all right.
45.
There you go.
I could see it being a 45-win team. That's a lot of you're getting a lot of basketball if you pick up a Patrick Beverley starting at point guard and also adding a Taj Gibson. Like I think that would like just really bolster our depth, and not just with really nice basketball players, but with veterans. So I could definitely see, and I'm pretty sure Borland would love that move as well. So
yeah,
I could definitely see us winning a lot more games than we did this year.
So Marcus got 42. Wise, you got 45. I'm the outlier at 55. But again, Ja would be on that roster. So he would be also competing with Dunn. You could make a trade somewhere during the middle of the season, bringing more talent for the playoff run. I mean, that things would definitely be on the up and up with a roster like that. I think they're on the up and up regardless of who we had. I think this team's going to be much better next year. All we got to do is stay healthy, which is a big if. Last question before we wrap it up. I'm sorry, guys, one more. Boylan, has the improved play in the last month of February changed your opinion? Would you be open to seeing him back next year, or do you want new leadership? Let's start out with you, Marcus, and we'll finish up with Wise.
Yeah, I mean, he's got 3 rings. That's not an accident. He's a hard-nosed coach that tries to get the best out of his players. And, not to tick off any of your young listeners, but, these are like, the youngest of the young millennials coming around here. And they may not even realize what the game used to be like even 10, 15 years ago. So I think he's here. Obviously, he's a favorite of the front office. I remember when we had that Bulls roundtable early on in the year, we talked about if Fred Hoiberg's going to be around, and it's almost difficult to think back that far into the season where Fred Hoiberg was still around, which is weird. But I think Boylan's going to have a full season to prove himself next year. Whether he comes back the year after that, who knows? Depends on what kind of talent we have. You know, we get lucky and win the lottery and end up getting somebody like Zion. I'm sure that we're going to attract a lot more free agents than just Taj Gibson, right? I think that we're going to be a bigger destination than that. So we'll see. We'll see.
Oh, I love Taj. Guys, you guys really bring it. Fantastic. Thanks so much for jumping on the Bullseye. One more time where people can find you and also your Twitter handles for everyone to follow you on Twitter.
Yeah. So we can be found at Bulls Podcast. There's also something I built that I started at the beginning of the season. It's bulls.fm. And that has all of the cool podcasts from all the cool Bulls podcasters out there. There's like 9 different shows, including yours and Doug's and everybody else's, Big Dave with Ball. So everybody's there. So that's a great resource for fans to check out. You can find our show at Bulls Podcast. Me, you can find at Marcus Couch. And Wise, you got your own set.
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram, it's Radical_Creator. And on YouTube, as I mentioned before, you can just type in Wise Black and you'll find my channel.
You guys,
all you Bulls fans out there, you got to subscribe to Wise's channel. That's the fantastic whole reason I found him as a co-host.
Yeah.
I saw him when he first started, and I'm like, this kid's got it. You know, I did my own scouting out there.
It is
so
awesome.
So everybody subscribe to his channel.
These guys are two titans in the industry, the Bulls podcasting, Bulls Twitter industry. Guys, I can't wait to meet you guys in person. I want to get something set up for this summer. Marcus, you got to come into Chicago for the draft. We'll go to Doug Tonis's house.
Yeah, you just met me last week. Yep.
I know. I actually was out in L.A. and I got to meet him. It was great meeting Marcus. We had burrito. It was fantastic time talking basketball. But you got to come into town so we all can get together, go out with Darnell Mayberry. We'll have a good talk about the beloved Bull. Guys, thanks a million.
Yeah, I'll come to Chicago now when it's over 70 degrees. So
okay.
Give it a month.
All right, guys.
Lucky you.
Thanks again, guys. We'll talk to you again soon, okay? Have a good one. And believe in the beloved Bull. If it's not Bulls, it's not basketball.
42 next year. That's
how dare you. Take it easy, guys.